The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. And today, just as yesterday, we are doing a very special edition of the Gospel Truth broadcast. Instead of me just sitting here and teaching the way I normally do, we're actually taking a teaching that I did at Life Changers in Chicago with Greg and Grace Dickow. They've been friends of mine for many, many years, and many of you watch him on television also, and he's a great brother, and they're doing a good work for the Lord. And I was at their church, their old church, actually, and we videoed this teaching on spirit, soul, and body. This was just one service, and what we're doing is splitting this between our broadcast yesterday and today. Today will be the second part of this. And as I said yesterday, this is a teaching on spirit, soul, and body that has really impacted my life. This is the foundation of everything that God said. And I've got a lot of materials. I've got books on this. I've got a lot of materials. And so that really there's much more to it than what you're seeing on this broadcast yesterday and today. But this is a quick overview of the subject. And it was really powerful. I think that sometimes to summarize is really an important thing. It gives an overall impression. It's like drawing the outline, and then you can come back in with the details later and color in the things and give the detail to it. So this is a quick overview, the second part of this teaching on spirit, soul, and body from Life Changers Church in Chicago. This is the second part. If you'll listen to this, I think it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to be actually wearing a suit and tie, which will shock some of you, but I can clean up when I have to. And if you'll watch it, I think you'll be blessed, and I'll be back at the end of the program today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
And you can have supernatural wisdom. God will show you things to come. And I could give you 1,000 examples of that. But see, your spirit already knows all things. Some people think, now wait a minute, I don't know all things. My last test score proves it. See, again, you're searching the soulish realm. The key to understanding the Bible is understanding spirit, soul, and body. And it's your spirit that has been born again and is a new creation. And you need to see yourself in Christ. The body of Christ has an identity problem. Most of us don't know who we are in Christ. Most of us, if I was to ask you, how's your life going? What's happening? You would tell me how you feel physically, financially, in relationships, external, or how you feel emotionally, and that's who you define who you are. But the truth is, there's another part of you that most Christians don't even know exists, and that part of you is seated with Christ in heavenly places. It has His wisdom, His ability. You have the power to raise the dead, to open up blinded eyes. There is no problem. There is no inadequacy. There is no failure in your spirit. You are perfect. You are complete. And very few Christians look at that as being themselves. And then we wonder why we aren't experiencing more victory. It's because you don't know who you are. The key to the Christian life, from my experience, is finding out what you are. And since the Lord began to show me this, you know, I'm not saying that I've got everything working in my life. I hadn't arrived, but you know what? I've left. Praise God. And I can tell you that things in my life are going better than they ever have. And it's not because God is now giving me more, doing more. It's because I have learned more of what I've got. And I learned to stand in who I am in Christ instead of who I'm tempted to be out in the flesh. I have things happen to me just like anybody else. A few years ago, we had something happen that made Paul Harvey's worldwide broadcast. He went on and he says, I can't believe this happened to anybody. And he talked about how terrible, how bad it was, what happened to my wife and I. You know what? I went to school the next day and my staff was saying, you can't teach. You can't get up. Go home. No, everybody will understand. And I said, well, I'm fine. Everything's fine. They said, you can't be fine. You should be hurt. And you know what? I went in and started teaching class. And I was rejoicing and telling jokes and laughing and praising God. And my staff came to me and started saying, you're in denial. You know, Christians have even accepted this thing that you should fall apart like a $2 suitcase every time something happens to you. You know what? Who I am in Christ is not affected by external things out here. And I've learned to change my identity over to who I am in Christ. And that's the same at all times. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you aren't the same all of the time, guess what? You are not in the Spirit. If you're one of these that rides moods and you're up and down based on how things are going and what people think about you, you're carnal. Anybody miss that? Was that too subtle? I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I'm just saying that this is the way it is. You know why we're up and down? Because you are in and out of the Spirit and in the flesh. If you are in Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can love at all times. You can always triumph. There is no failure in your spirit. And I know that there's people right now who are really getting agitated by what I'm saying, because our society has actually come to the place to where having problems and feeling hurt and pain is worn like a badge, and we condemn anybody who comes along and says, be strong. And we're saying, oh, you're condemning people and you're telling them that they shouldn't be that way. I'm saying that God knows that you have part of you that's flesh, and God understands. But you know what? God has provided something better for you, and you do not have to live in defeat. And if you're living in defeat, I understand. I am not condemning you. I'm tempted the same as anybody else, but I'm telling you, you don't have to be that way. I had a woman come up to me when I was in Stryker, Ohio. This has been many years ago, but I was talking about how that you don't have to let anything get to you. Most Christians kind of draw a circle around them. And anything that's minor within this circle, they believe that Jesus is supposed to help them over it. If it's a hangnail, if it's, you know, you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed, most Christians believe Jesus is big enough to get you over that. But if it's something big, if you're going through a divorce, if somebody has done something, if you're facing death, most Christians will jump your case and tell you something's wrong with you if you don't hurt and if you aren't falling apart and things like that. That's not true. I was preaching along these lines, and I had a woman come up to me, and she thanked me, and she said, I want to thank you. She said, you're the first preacher I've heard that said these things. And she told me that when she was 14 years old, she had been abused by her grandfather every day of her life, sexually abused from 5 until 14. And she got born again at 14 years of age. And when she got born again, she went and told her parents what her grandfather had been doing. And they got so mad at their dad that they kicked him out of the house, disowned him, and started her into therapy. But you know what? She got born again. And when she got born again, she was forgiven and she forgave her granddad, and she never had a problem. She loved him. She could have been with him. She forgave him. She wasn't hurt and she wasn't warped and she wasn't messed up. And because she wouldn't submit to the therapy and get out these hurts and draw out all of the pains and stuff, they kicked her out of the house when she was about 16. And she was 26, and for 10 years she'd been estranged from her family because they said, you're in denial, and they wouldn't have anything to do with her. And she says, you're the first person I've ever heard that says that Jesus could set you free and you don't have to have all of these scars and pains the rest of your life. Brothers and sisters, it's a lie the way that the world has infiltrated the church with their psychology today, telling you that if this happens, this is your chemical response and you can't help it. You are only human. You aren't only human. One third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Amen. One third of you is a brand new creature, and you do not have to have all of these problems. I can guarantee you, if you, and I know I'll get in trouble. Pray, I'm a visitor. Don't blame Greg and Grace for what I say. They didn't know what I was going to say. Cut them some slack, amen. I'm leaving. You won't have to hear me again. But you know what? Psychologist, if you're going to a psychiatrist, psychologist, I can guarantee you, if you aren't messed up, you will be messed up. That is one of the worst things that has happened in our society today. They're going back and drawing out things and making you glorify stuff. You know, we talk today about how kids need a dad and they need a family. And I agree with all of that. I believe that we ought to have godly families, and I'm not trying to absolve parents of their responsibility. But you know what? We have made it so that kids think they have a bill of rights that if somebody ever does something wrong, then they are justified in being a triple murderer because they missed a birthday cake when they were 4 years old and it warped them. It's weird. Have any of you ever heard of a man named Thomas Crapper? He's the guy that invented the toilet. I have offices in England. I go over there often, and I got his biography, and I read the biography of Thomas A. Crapper. It's entitled Flushed with Pride. And the author of this book said, truly, Thomas's heart was in the toilet. And then, but anyway, Thomas Crapper was born in 1838. And in 1849, his parents gave him one change of clothes, one lunch, and said, we love you, goodbye. At 11 years of age, he walked 360 miles to London, and he was on his own. They didn't have a social system. They didn't have relatives or anything. And when I read that, I thought, my God, 11 years old, and he had to walk 360 miles in a situation where there were bandits, thieves, robbers, and no social system, nothing. And this guy was on his own at 11 years of age. And I thought, this has to be unusual. And the next paragraph said it was unusual that most children didn't leave home until they were 12 years of age. You know what my point is? We sit here and think, oh, these kids got it so bad. These kids have troubles and trials and tribulations that nobody's ever had before. The youth of today have it so much worse. Give me a break. Amen. Now, Thomas Crapper had it rough. Leaving home at 11 years old and being out on your own, that's tough. Not having the designer jeans, not having the new Sega Genesis 2, and you going into depression because you didn't get the same thing that your neighbor got, that's not tough. You know what we have done? We have actually made everything so touchy-feeling to where, oh, you have to be loved and you have to be coddled and protected, which is the best. I'm all for it as much as you can, but I'm saying, grow up. Pull your thumb out of your mouth. The fact that somebody didn't like you sometime in your life and that you grew up in a dysfunctional family is not a justification for you being a jerk the rest of your life. Get over it. Amen. I got a friend in England who, when he was 3 years old, was evacuated from the cities and put out into the farms because of all the bombing, and for 4 years didn't know if he'd ever see his family again. At 3 and 4 years old, he was living separated from his parents with about 100 other kids on a farm, living in a situation like that because of World War II. That's tough. Social pressure is not tough. Unless you glorify it and make it tough. Unless you tell them, oh, I know this is really tough. You know what? We've raised a bunch of weaklings. Wimps. Because we've just changed our thinking so much. You know, I watched for the very first time The Wizard of Oz last week. I'd never seen that show before. And I saw that and I was amazed. That was put out in 1938 or 39. I was shocked. Because if that thing was put out today, it would be boycotted. They would come against because they sang songs about the wicked witch is dead and she went out to kill the witch. Did you know today you could never get by with killing a witch? Witches have rights. Amen. Singing and rejoicing because the witch is dead and not feeling their pain is politically incorrect today. We have moved so far off center from what right is that nobody has a clue what's going on. You know why you're so hurt is because you're so sensitive. If you would quit living in this emotional realm to where you feel like everybody owes you something. And the pastor didn't say hi to me as he walked by today. So that's justification for you splitting the church and criticizing him and leaving. And you know, is it possible that somebody but you exist? Is it possible that he was thinking about something that wasn't you? Are you not the center of the universe? Radical thought, huh? You know what? You need to get out of thinking that you are the center of the universe and that the whole world owes you something. Nobody owes you anything. Well, I got rights. Your rights end at the end of your nose. Amen. Your rights don't make me have to do anything for you. See, you need to get out of this self-life, this carnal life, and recognize that there's a brand new you, and it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, it doesn't matter what your education is, it doesn't matter what anybody has done to you. If they spit in your face, I had a guy spit in my face not long ago while I was preaching to him, and I just wiped it off, never missed a word, kept right on going, amen. It doesn't matter. It's not justification for me not to love somebody and treat them right because they treat me bad. I've got people that have threatened to kill me. I've got death orders out. If I ever step on people's property, they'll kill me. I've had people misrepresent me. That's not justification for me being angry at them. It doesn't give me a right to be angry at them. I'm a new person, and in Christ, I have the same ability on the inside of me to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Very few people have discovered who they are in Christ. Most people are living who they aren't in the flesh. You're letting your family, your circumstances, your hormones, your genes dictate who you are. But you're a brand new person in Christ. And if you would get into the Word of God and find out who you are and what you have, I guarantee you it would change the way you act as a byproduct. Most people are trying to change their actions in order to get God to give them something. It's exactly the opposite. What you need to do is discover what you already have, that you are a new person. Find out who you are in Christ, and then your actions will change more accidentally than they ever have on purpose before. You know what? If you start thinking that I can do all things through Christ, you'll find out that depression and stuff will leave. It's impossible for you to be depressed thinking on who you are in Christ and all the good things that God has done for you. For you to be depressed, it is not your hormones, it is not your chemical imbalance that causes depression, it's the fact that you are looking on carnal things. You know, if I was to look at some of the problems in my life, I was talking to Greg and Grace just a little bit before the service about my family, some of the problems that we've had. If I was to talk about that, if I was to tell you some of the things that have happened to me in the last 3 or 4 months, I could get every person in here crying for me. I could be as depressed as anybody. Man, if we were to stand up here and just have a griping and complaining party, I could outdo 99.9% of you. You'd be hard-pressed to have more problems than I've got. But you know what? In Christ Jesus, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's all that the Spirit produces. Your spirit never gets depressed. If you're depressed, it's because you aren't in the Spirit. You're in the flesh. Your spirit, the whole time that you're wailing and travailing and having a pity party, sending out all of your invitations and every demon in the county showing up. You know what? Your spirit, the whole time, is in the presence of God with love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And you can rejoice if you want to rejoice. I know some of you are thinking, this is weird. Don't tell me how I know how I am. You're in touch with the flesh, the physical body, and your soulish realm. But you know what? Most of you don't know who you are in the spirit. And so you think, this isn't true. If I had that joy in me, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't. That which is spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. You don't know who you are. You know, right now, if I was to say, is your hair combed? You can't go by how you feel. You can't feel if your hair is combed. You know what you do? You go look in a mirror. And you just learn to trust what you see in that mirror. Did you know that you aren't seeing your hair? You have never seen your face. You've seen a picture of your face, a reflection of your face, but you've never seen your face. You know what you've seen is a reflection, a picture, a drawing of your face or something, and you've just learned to trust that. But the truth is, with your physical eyes, you have never looked at your face. And yet you've learned to trust that representation. Well, the Bible says in James chapter 1, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, is like a man beholding his face in a mirror. And so somebody says, how are you? Instead of saying, well, let's see, oh, I hurt here, and man, Oh, and somebody is divorcing me. I've got this problem. You know what you're doing? You're looking in the physical flesh realm. What you should do is give a response on who you are in Christ. Somebody says, how are you? You say, well, let me see. You hold your mirror up and you say, well, Ephesians 1:3, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen. I have love, joy, and peace, long-suffering. And some of you think, no, I wouldn't be a hypocrite. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm depressed and I'm going to be honest about it. It just depends on who you consider to be the real you. If you think that physical flesh and blood is you in this soulish realm is you, then you're a hypocrite to say you're healed when anybody can tell that you're sick. But you know what? If you are in Christ Jesus, you're a hypocrite to say that you hurt and that you're depressed when the Bible says you've already been healed. The rest of the Christian life is learning how to change your identity to who you are in Christ, finding out what Jesus has done, believing it. And you know, it's a simple majority. You got three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is always, always, always for God. It's identical to Jesus. It never fluctuates. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All you got to do is get your soulish part in agreement with the spirit. It's a simple majority, 2-1. Your body will respond. You know what? You'll begin to start feeling joy and happiness if you start believing that you've already got it in your spirit. If you start believing that by his stripes you were healed and start speaking it, your body will just get healed. It can't stay sick. The Bible says, Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death. Amen. Carnal mind, put it in agreement with the flesh, what's going on in the physical realm, it'll produce death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It didn't say spiritual mindedness tends towards life and peace. It's not one of the leading causes of life and peace. For those with type A personality, it'll produce life and peace. There is no qualifications. It says spiritual mindedness equals life and peace. John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So being spiritually minded is being word minded. What does the word say about you? Who are you? If you think spiritually minded, it equals life and peace. You can turn it around and look at it this way. If you've got something other than life and peace, you aren't spiritually minded. You're carnally minded. I don't have to be with you when you plant your garden to know what you planted. All I got to do is be there when you grow something up. And I can tell you what you've planted in your garden by what's growing in it. I can tell you what you've been thinking, not by being with you when you think, but by looking in your life. Are you having death? Are you disturbed, depressed, discouraged, bitter, angry, confused, fearful? You've been carnally minded. That's tight, but it's right. Some people think, well, you can't be that absolute. It's another problem of our society. Nobody believes there are any absolute truths. It is absolutely true that if you're carnally minded, you're going to experience death. It is absolutely true that if you're spiritually minded, word minded, you will experience life and peace. And there's no exceptions to that. So if you aren't experiencing life and peace, get in the Word of God. Find out who you are in Christ and start believing and confessing and acting like who you are in Christ, and you'll find out that, praise God, it'll work for you. Amen? Amen. So I pray that that blessed you. I tell you, this teaching on spirit, soul, and body just revolutionized my life. I really can trace back to this revelation. I remember reading a book, and the book was about something different, but in the process of making his point, the very first chapter just made a statement that it's your spirit that got born again and your spirit was completely changed. And he gave in parentheses some references. And you know what? I started looking up those references. This was over 40 years ago. And I started looking up those references. I got so excited. God spoke to me. It's like a bomb went off on the inside. I never did go back to that book. I never finished the book. I got what I needed in just the first half of that first chapter, and this transformed my life. And I'm still living off of this. This is still what's changed my life. So if this didn't light your fire, your wood is wet. You know what? I'm telling you that this, I believe, would change your life. So I'd like to encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. You can actually get the DVD of this teaching. You can get the book. You can get a CD of this. And there's a lot more material than what you were able to see on just yesterday or today's broadcast. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives out all of this information and contact information.
And then please contact us and get this. If this touches your life half as much as it's touched my life, I guarantee you, you'll never be the same. It'll be a blessing to you. So listen and then call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in a 4-part CD album when you send a gift of any amount. Request item T1027 when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the audio CD album is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TK91 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Spirit, Soul, and Body, the book, is also available when you send a gift of any amount. Request T318 when you write, call, or go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching is also available in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Whether teaching Sunday school, leading a small group or home church, discipling an individual, or studying for your own personal growth, this study guide is designed for you. Included is a CD-ROM that allows you to duplicate any resources needed for each lesson. Request study guide T418 when you contact the ministry.
Once again, let me just emphasize that this is the teaching that totally changed my life. And I believe it'll change any person's life. I've seen so many people transformed through this. So if you have not gotten these materials on Spirit, Soul, and Body, I encourage you to do so. It is life transforming. It will completely revolutionize your relationship with the Lord. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what this whole teaching is about. It will make a huge difference. So again, our announcer is going to share with you about how you can get these materials. Please call or write today and get these materials on Spirit, Soul, and Body.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If the lines are full, remember there's no cost to contact us at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got 4 services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida.